Welcome, everybody, to this week's episode of Storm Champ, the podcast where we talk to everyday people and everyday acts of resilience and resistance. This week is a special call with the team. You see everybody here today. I'm Kim. Who else is with us here today? We got Carlos going on up there. We got Angie with her earphones and...
Yo, yo.
We got Derek on the call tonight. So thanks, everybody, for joining us. Our topic today, we've been kind of chit-chatting a little bit as a team and, you know, working on our scheduling and things like that. And one theme that seems to come to the surface pretty often is the topic of letting go. So we thought we would open that up today and just kind of have a conversation, get to the bottom of some things, some tips and tricks and lessons learned in life, as all of us have kind of been in our own journeys of letting go through the years. So why don't we go ahead and get it started? So when we think about letting go, obviously the opposite would be holding on. How many of us have held on to something a little too long, you know?
Story of my life.
Been too long, right? You think what you got is good and you don't want to lose it, but what happens when you've held on too long and you get to that part of the story where you can't figure out how to let it go? Trust me, I know.
Yeah, I think there's a couple different parts. At least for me, it's kind of like, you know, you can let go of things that happened to you. You can let go of people that did bad things to you. I know one of the biggest things I'm struggling with right now is letting go of things I did or didn't do. So letting go for me is also like really tied into forgiving. And so a lot of it is like, I need to let go of some things I didn't do in the past or some poor decisions I made in the past. And then kind of forgiving myself for it, but figuring out how to get there and like actually turning that switch on to say like, look, I'm done. I just can't think about this anymore. I can't put energy into this anymore. It's so hard. Like, I just don't know how to get to those points with certain things.
Oh yeah. Definitely.
I think that it could also mean like just letting go of the things that you can't control. You know, I'm a yoga teacher for those that you don't know. And maybe if you listened to the last podcast, one of the things that I would talk to my students about is that, you know, you really don't have control over anything except for how you react to things. So if there's something that you're gonna hold on to, maybe hold on to your reaction to an incident versus, you know, fretting and worrying yourself and being upset about the thing that you really have no control over. So, and you know, I'd always even talk about too is like, in this instant right here, right now, are you really upset? Are you really hurting? Because you probably really aren't. You're more than likely doing okay. And so it's like, it's just something worth not holding on to.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting you use the word react, because I've been listening to some stuff recently about the difference between reacting and responding. Mm-hmm. And so when you respond to something, that's more of you do it in a controlled way, while reacting is more of a kind of a negative way of dealing with it. And you're kind of coming from a more emotional kind of place when you're reacting. So it's really understanding the difference between the two and then figuring out, okay, how can I respond effectively and in control to this situation or this thought or this moment versus, oh, I'm just going to go in straight react mode and just kind of, you know, make the situation even worse by overthinking it or reacting negatively to something somebody said or did or whatever, which when you kind of follow that trail, it ends up being a bad thing all the way around anyways.
Yeah. And I also think it goes back to like, you actually have control of your happiness. You know, you have control over your reactions and letting something go. So when you realize that you kind of are in control of how you feel and your happiness, it kind of is, it's really liberating to like sit back and just let those things not control how you're going to be. Cause I've seen people where they go down like rabbit holes of literally just, you can see it in their face that they're upset that something they're storming or brewing over something. And it's just like, man, if you could just practice that like consciousness or that, you know, present, being present and just letting that shit go, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, those words sound like a dream sometimes. Just let it go, you know, and in those moments, you're like, I can't let it go. I think part of what you were speaking to, in that liberating space and feeling kind of empowered. It comes back to control, sure, but also power, and whether or not you're giving your power away to something beyond your control, or if you're really working to sort of engage in empowering actions and empowering thoughts and empowering responses. And so I really, over the last couple of minutes, as you all were talking, I came back to the concept of owning your own power and really staying centered and grounded in that and not giving it away based on your emotional instability, let's say, to something, or recognizing maybe that there's a bigger game at play. I'm thinking about the senators, the congresswomen, and some of the conversations that have been happening over the last couple of days in terms of go back to your home countries of origin, as if the leader of the free world doesn't understand how our Congress works and the fact that indeed you do need to be a U.S. citizen. It's just crazy to me. But they didn't give away their power and control. They didn't respond or react. They responded. And they responded in a way that proved the point. They weren't being agitated or held to this point of power that this tiny, tiny man in office was trying to make.
Tell us what you really think.
They decided to go ahead and respond appropriately, course correcting what everyone else was going and veering off track towards. They said, let that shit go. Don't get tripped up by that. Don't get triggered by that. Don't get hooked by that. They're telling all of us in a thousand different ways how to let go of the little petty arguments and stay focused on the bigger ones. And I was like, well, if that's not a metaphor for my life, never mind our national politics, I don't know what is.
So on letting go then, how do we let go? Like, what are some of your processes for how you let go in a situation, maybe with, I don't know, family member or friend, maybe you got into an argument a long time ago. What do you guys do when you're trying to let go?
I got a question. I got to name it. I got to know what it is that's mm-hmm. going on. I tend to get blinded really fast by the emotional reaction piece to it, right? I get really big and loud, and that sort of proves the harm or the hurt that might be happening there. And I recognize the power at play, and I have to be able to name what it is I'm focusing on before I can then find a way to let it go. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think you're talking about like having awareness for it too. Like even just recognizing that you're in that space, that headspace. For me, like I own it for a little bit. Like I feel the emotions. Like I always tell people, don't be afraid to feel it. You know, you've got to feel it but come to your senses at some point and realize that this is going to hurt you long term to keep dwelling on it and to keep, for me, it's like a movie. I'm always replaying this and like, oh, I fucked up, man. I messed up on this, or, you know, I didn't do this right. And I start recognizing that behavior, or like we were talking about last time, Kim, that negative self-talk that can come sometimes creep into your daily life. And I just stop it in its tracks. And I just say, okay, you got to fucking let this go. You just got to let it go. Or you can't hold on to this, or it's going to make you feel sick and it's only going to make things worse.
Yeah, I've come in the same boat where when I first started meditating, I started doing this like really kind of long guided meditation. And part of that was he would walk you through like when you were churning on a thing, on an emotion, an event, something somebody did, whatever. You would, as soon as you recognize it, you would say out loud the word change. Just say change, right? And it would like short circuit. Mm-hmm. And stop you and make you kind of step back a second and like really breathe for a second and then realize you were doing it. And yeah, sometimes like it was to the point where like I just couldn't get out of this thought process, and it would be like every other, you know, minute change, change, change. But it started to like work. It started to like stop the process, stop the churning, and it helped me recognize and name the thing that I was doing or the emotion that I was feeling. And then once you get to that point and you can kind of catch it a little bit better, and it's like an exercise, you got to keep going, right, to be able to catch it. It made those certain things get better. Doesn't mean you're going to let it go in that moment necessarily, but at least it's stopping the process every so often so you can catch it more frequently.
Yeah, Something else I had thought about too, in that whole exchange you just shared, Carlos, it was interesting because, like, in the process of trying to name what it is I'm trying to let go, I also have this sense of, like, sort of a law of attraction. So, like, when you get a new car or a new set of sneakers or something, all of a sudden your mind is fixated on that object and you start seeing it everywhere else, right? So if all I'm seeing is the fact that I'm not making enough money, I'm never going to make enough money, right? Or if all I'm seeing is a, I don't know, the downfall of my interpersonal relationship with my grandmother, then all that's going to happen is a continued spiral effect to that effect. And so I'm like realizing and recognizing the little ways and the big ways that I'm sort of manifesting my own destiny in that regard. And that I get to a point in the problem or the situation where I owe it to myself to start looking for something different, to start seeing it differently. And sure enough, as soon as I open up enough space to say, you know what, I don't have to hate this job every day. I don't have to feel completely overwhelmed and bombarded by my financial health or whatever. Things slowly start to shift and change. And then I'm able to let it go further and further, and it actually works out, you know, in the end in a lot of ways. But it's such a slow process. And
girl,
if you're not willing to see the light at the end of the tunnel and all you're focusing on and blinding on is the problem in front of you, like, what's that gonna do? You're just retreating and reblogging and re-Facebook posting all the shit out there. Like, you're not saying anything new and you're not getting anywhere closer to the end. So yeah, I try to stop that in my personal life, but I think it's a lot easier said than done.
Right. Well, you're essentially choosing how you react and choosing the reality that you wanna be in. So.
And I think a big part of it too is you gotta remember, like, the energy you're putting into the world is what's gonna get reflected back to you, right? So if you're living in this constant negative state and negative mindset, like, yeah, so that's exactly where you're gonna attract back. Like you were talking about the law of attractions, right? Like, it's the exact same thing. Like, I think it took me 40 years to, like, really figure that out. Like, really, really figure that out. Yeah. So if you can get to a place where letting go doesn't mean you're, like, forgiving the thing or forgetting the thing or whatever. It just means, like, you're going to try to get to a point where you're at peace and about what happened, and you're going to forge a new path forward to get to a better place. Right. And knowing, like, no matter what, there's always a better place out there. You just got to keep trying to do your best to put out the like a more positive kind of energy to the world. And so those things will slowly start reflecting back to you.
You guys think a problem to I think part of the problem in letting go is that we've become too static and holding on. So, like, I don't think that we were ever really meant, none of us really know what the hell's going on, first of all, but none of us also were meant to have a static plan, right? Like, life is messy and there are twists and turns all the time, and part of the problem we get ourselves into as silly humans is thinking we've gotten it figured out, or thinking that the structure or the boundary of the matter is solid and concrete and forever. And I think we kind of get ourselves into foolish places in regards to holding on and letting go because of it. And I've noticed in the past, you know, college is supposed to be 4 years, right? Well, I did a super senior year and came back for grad school, and I feel like I'm still living college half the time. So, like, what is college really, huh? And so, like, if we loosen our boundaries and our ideas around how things should be or how things are supposed to be, if we stop holding so tightly to the truths we think we know, we'll be probably very surprised by the truths we're learning in real time, you know?
Yeah. And I think, Derek, to go back to your question about letting go, is that, like, what do you do to let go, is to also acknowledge that it's okay to mess up, or it's okay that a mistake happened, and to acknowledge that we're all human. And I think when I put it in that perspective, it's easier for me to also let go. Like, it's normal for you to make mistakes. It's normal for a situation not to work out, or to understand that you don't have control over something. And that helps me to kind of get through that a lot faster, I think, than it, you know, in my youth or in my 20s or in my early 30s too. So.
Sure. I do wonder though sometimes, because you think about you know, stuff that's happened in the past or something, somebody that you have a bad relationship with for whatever reason, maybe a falling out with a friend or something. And let's say 7 years later, they come back into your life and they act like nothing ever happened, but maybe they did something really horrible and they're like, hey, I let go. Why can't you? No, mm-hmm. you owe me an apology for that thing, you mm-hmm. know? And, you know, that can be really hard to let go if, you know, the other person doesn't really care about what they did wrong to you. But then I reflect on things that I've done where people were mad at me and I didn't have any malicious intent, and you know, they still hold a grudge to this day. And I'm like, if I owe an apology, you know, let me know what I owe an apology for. But there are a lot of people who walk around in the world not letting go and not talking about, you know, things that have happened in these interactions. And so where do you, is there a line that you draw in differentiating between, hey, I need to call up this person and apologize, or maybe it's the 7 year mark, maybe it's mm-hmm. after a year. If I haven't brought it up within, what's that rule? If I haven't brought it up within 72 hours, I need to let it go. Isn't that a
something
thing?
Right.
Is there a line that's drawn?
I guess it depends on how much you want that person in your life and how much value they bring to you. I've had relationships where I've never gotten an apology, but we were able to just, we wanted each other in each other's life more than the apology, I guess.
And I appreciate you still being my friend after all that, Angie. It's really nice. Yeah,
I think that's a really tough question because, I mean, like, so the first thing I would say is, and I'm learning this so much right now, is the closure you seek is within. Like, that's the first and foremost mm-hmm. thing. Like,
say it again.
It is. It really, really is, right?
That's our quote.
The closure you seek is within. Yeah. And so part of that is letting go of expectations of others. And it's so hard to do, especially like people you care about or you feel like they should be a certain way. And until like, and I've been watching a lot of Gary Vee, so I'm gonna quote Gary Vee here.
I recognize that.
Yeah, seriously, like he's been talking about letting, like, don't expect anything from anybody and you will be happy.
You can't be happy.
That resonated with me so much. And I finally got to the point where I got rid of expectations except for like the 5, 6, 7 people that I care about most in the world. And now it's like, how do I get past like even expecting anything from even the most the close people in my family? Like, how do you not expect something from like your wife or your husband or your mother or your brother or whatever, right? I don't know. Like you, but if you can get to that point where like there is zero expectations and there's nothing but compassion and empathy and just genuine love for them, like,
then you're the Buddha.
Yeah, exactly. Like, but it's getting there, right? It's figuring that out. So I think, getting back to what you were saying before, is like, you know, the 72-hour rule, 7-year rule, whatever you want to call it, like, it's, to me, it's more about like, how do I get the closure I'm seeking for myself, even if there's nothing, this person is never going to do anything. Like, you can write a letter to a person, you can have that phone call with a person. Maybe it's just, you're just getting it off your chest kind of thing. Like, I heard something recently, actually, earlier today, I was listening to something, and they said, write the person a letter, get it all out in the letter, and then go burn the letter.
Yep.
And let that be the act of like a symbolic act for you, even though they'll never see it, they'll never know it, they'll never know exactly what you were saying or thinking. That's a symbolic act for you. Because the thing that I think a lot of people struggle with is you're going to go and tell that person, and a couple of things, you're going to feel like you're chasing them, number one. You're going to feel like, why should I be initiating this conversation when it should be the other way around? And again, that goes back to expectations. But I think the biggest thing that people fear is I'm going to go and put myself out there and I'm going to be vulnerable and I'm not going to get a reaction.
Yeah. Right. They're going to be like, I don't care about that thing.
Or it's even worse. They just don't say anything. Like, it's complete silence, right? Like, what do you do in that case? And how do you get past like this person that I thought cared about me and whatever, and they didn't say a word, right? So I think that goes back to like getting back to the closure you seek is within, and it's getting to that point where you can find that closure within yourself.
Mm-hmm. There's a couple of times in the back and forth just now that the concept of ego was really high for me. I think expectations has a lot to do with ego. And I think in terms of closure and some of the final, you know, pieces and things that we'd love to see buttoned up in a nice, you know, foul swoop, it often doesn't happen that way. And our ego has a huge fucking problem with that. I mean, I deserve closure. I deserve an answer for why X, Y, and Z. Or, you know, I deserved your love this way or your attention this way. Or you didn't, you know, buy me braces as a kid. What, you know, whatever. Thing is, you know, there's a lot of unpacking for some of us to do in life. And as soon as you can acknowledge in your personal relationships, especially where your ego is at play, I think we're going to get a lot closer to that place of peace where we can start letting go of some of that stuff.
It's really interesting. You used the word deserve, right? And I think the more dangerous one is I didn't deserve this thing that you did to me or you said to me or whatever this act was, right? Because then it starts to like, whatever happened to you wasn't, it probably wasn't even about you, right?
Right.
If somebody hurt you, it's because they were hurting themselves in some way, maybe it was unconscious for them or whatever. So when you start getting to the point where it's like, I didn't deserve this thing that happened to me, man, that's a dangerous place to be in, because then that goes back to like, you really don't have control, right? And you don't own your life and those kind of things. It's like, if you can go in through a situation and say, I did everything I could and I gave this person, this thing, this moment, the best of me,
yeah,
then it doesn't matter what happens after that. Now, if you're having that honest conversation with yourself and you're saying, look, I didn't really give it the best of me, then you analyze that objectively and say, how could I have done better? What could I have done differently, right? And how could I approach the conversation or the moment better?
But then also, I guess pessimistically, what does it matter now? And optimistically, what am I going to do with the knowledge gained for the next thing? Like there's really nothing at a loss in this life. Everything is compounded. You know, everything is helpful. As hurtful as a lot of it is, everything is helpful. But like this is, you're like speaking around the elephant in the room of my national organization and some of my most recent experiences. And so here's a really interesting one, right? We're all affiliated and lifelong members of something that maybe mattered more to us at certain points, or maybe we're more active in our lives at certain points than others. And so I had to come to a place on several different layers where I had to let that shit go. And I'm still struggling with some of it, you know, because I felt personally wronged. I felt professionally wronged. I felt like I was that, you know, gamma with heart through the fucking roof, helping to found new chapters and road tripping to different regions as a grown ass alum, never mind in my undergrad years, and for what, right? And so until I can take my ego, my anchor ego on out of here and say, you know what, I hold this shit down for me, for my experience and for my sisterhood, that's what matters most. And that's really all that ever mattered. Let's be honest. I could be in service to others, sure. But that service stopped as soon as my ego started getting hurt. You know what I'm saying? And as soon as my ego started getting hurt and I thought, well, I deserve this, or I worked hard on that. Where's my credit? Or I put in, you know, so and so many years. Why are they doing it any differently? Kim, none of that's about you, right? Again, your ego, your silly, silly human ego, that has nothing to do with you. Let go of the harm that you, or the hurt that you think you're actually feeling. To Angie's point earlier, you're not really hurt. You're reacting. You're triggered and reacting. So I had to take, and I'm still taking several steps back from my, you know, national organization. And I think that's a really great example in protecting yourself, creating boundaries for the right reasons, and learning to let go of the stuff that doesn't really matter anymore.
Yeah. And I think you just gave a really good example of expectations, right? You had a set of expectations about how you should have been treated or things that should have happened certain ways. And that gets back down to that path of like, unless you communicate those expectations with that person, the organization, the entity, whatever it is, and be crystal clear about it, then, you know, a lot of miscommunications can happen. Situations like that can happen. And we do it. All of us do it. Like we do it every single day with people. But it's like, if we can recognize that and then figure a way around it, that's good. It's even better.
Yeah. Well, so is there anything in your life that you can think about that you've worked through to successfully let go? And what does it feel like on the other side?
That's a great question. So, I don't know, Derek, do you want to start?
Oh man, that's Pandora's box.
Well, let's start when I was nine.
Yeah. Start when I was nine. I sat in a chair and talked to somebody. I honestly think a lot about, people that I've, maybe reached out to. Like I've done this thing where somebody's told me, oh yeah, so-and-so has a problem with you and it stems back from like 5 years ago or something, I will reach out even though it's been 5 years and be like, look, I heard this thing. I just wanted to reach out, and in like the most recent situation, it was a situation where just different perspectives on an issue, this person thought I had some malicious intent in something and I didn't. So I just basically reached out and was like, hey, when this happened, I'm told that you thought this and that wasn't the case. And they just didn't believe me. So, there wasn't really a whole lot that I can do in that situation. So just because I hit that wall, that was the end of the road. So I had to let myself let it go because mm-hmm. there was no room to do anything else. I did all that I could in resolving the situation, the dormant conflict that I didn't realize existed. Mm-hmm. But it was something that, this person had mentioned it to somebody else. So I felt like it was important to bring it up. Had it never been brought up, well, then, I wouldn't know and it probably wouldn't be an issue. But I think when we have somebody who's, speaking ill of us, like, oh, Carlos, that one time did X, Y, Z, then they're throwing your name under the bus. And it's like, hey, how about you reach out to Carlos, talk about that, make sure you got all the facts straight. But it doesn't always happen. So once you hit that wall, I mean, there's only so much you can do.
Well, that's part of it too, right? Like if, in your situation, you try to at least have some communication around it. But if that other person isn't ready for communication, right? If they're not ready to let it go or at least have a conversation about it, then it's hard too. It's super, super hard. So that goes back to like, if you can honestly say, I did what I could in the situation, and looking back across it, it's like, here's what I could have done a little bit better, right? Then take that lesson forward, right? Then you do what you can do, and hopefully, you can have after the 7 years, right, have a different conversation with that person, and maybe you can talk through it again.
Sure. Mm-hmm. But there are some people that would say, hey, if that was 5 years ago, I wouldn't even send a message. No, that's my name. I'm gonna reach out and be like, hey, let's get this stuff squared away.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting too, because there'll be some things that happen in life where you'll start finding yourself kind of further down that path than you really recognized or realized, right? And so there's some things that have bothered me for what feels like forever. Like, oh, this is always going to be one of those issues that just, grinds my gears, just makes me go, just pull my hair out. I hate this. And it's just always going to be there. But slowly but surely, right, all of a sudden you start looking around, you start realizing, hey, you know what, like, I'm starting to recycle. I'm actually a recycler. Like, I go on Saturday mornings, and I actually take, my house doesn't do it, but I take it down the street on my own, and I'm like one of these people now. Like, I've become a recycler. Like, how did that happen? And it's just interesting, because you're going to manifest what you focus on, to some of the earlier points. But, sometimes if you're focusing on losing that 10 pounds, right, or whatever the situation is, and you can never quite get there, sometimes you got to let go of some of those goals too. And as soon as you do, look at those pounds drop, or look at all of a sudden, like, your muscle tone comes in, or whatever the situation is. And those 10 pounds don't even matter anymore, because you're leaps and bounds ahead on some other focus point that you're looking at. So I think we kind of owe it to ourselves to give some space in the process of whatever it is we're facing. Because life will, if you give it the chance, surprise you in good ways.
What was the initial question, Kim? Again, I'm sorry. I was having connection issues, so it was really hard to hear you.
It was,
go ahead.
It, it was looking at successful ways that you've been able to let go and what that process looked like.
Okay. So for me, I actually practice mindfulness pretty well, I feel like. And for me, yoga and practicing a mind-body connection. So like really focusing on being present. And I touched on this a little bit earlier, but when I ask myself, what really is, am I okay? Like, am I really upset? Like, or is there something really like, you know, am I going to die right now? You know, do I feel horrible? And when I really like come to that realization, or I have that mind-body connection, and just being completely present helps me to actually get through it. So it brings me out of it a lot quicker than I did in my past. So I'd encourage a lot of like that, just focusing on the presence of now, being in the now, allows me to kind of really let go of stuff.
Yeah, I would add too to the fact that, you know, it could be sort of a tricky situation. You got to manage yourself really well, but journaling can help in a lot of regards for this. Now, if you're just, you know, if this is your vent blog and all you go to it is to write about, you know, and hone in on the issue and the problem, it could maybe turn to the dark side real fast. But if you utilize journaling in a way to, one, sort of track your progress. How often are you tripping over this issue or this thought that you just can't let go of? Or to track your progress in letting it go. Today I wasn't as bothered about X, or today I was able to get through an entire conversation about X and not lose my mind. You know, I think that being able, for me, I'm an achiever and a visual learner. I like to see my progress. And so whether it's a bullet journal or if it's something in your daily planner where you just sort of track your mood or what it is that you're responding to, you can really see yourself kind of moving forward in ways that you aren't able to otherwise.
Yeah. One of the things I do outside of meditation and the mindfulness, I think that's really helpful too. But part of my workout routine is I have a playlist, and there's a certain song, and I'll talk about the song in a second. But, and I learned this off of a YouTube video, but basically imagine, and I'm usually like, I'm doing some cardio, so I'm like on a treadmill or elliptical or something when I'm doing this, but imagine you're walking up to a campfire and you're thinking about the thing you can't let go, whether it's a thing, a person, whatever. Take a mental snapshot of the moment that you're trying to let go. And then, like, you know, mentally you're kind of holding the picture in your hand, and then just drop it in the fire. And then for me, and so part of the meditation was like, you just watch it kind of just go up, and then the smoke is partly letting it go. The thing I do beyond that is I turn my back to the fire and I walk away. And that's me symbolically saying, like, this thing happened, or this person did this thing or whatever. I'm going to burn it and let it go. And then I'm going to walk away from that fire, because I'm going to go start a different fire. Right. And that's kind of how I think about it. And to be fair, like, it's not like you do this once and it's gone. It doesn't work that way, right? Like, sure. There's some stuff it took me months to, like, you know, over and over, just keep repeating it. But, you know, eventually, you know, things started to get better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's definitely a huge moment in time when you've been really just kind of gnawing on or grappling with a particular issue, when you start to see or feel just even the slightest shift in your mood or mentality around it, that gives, you know, the hopeless a whole lot of hope all of a sudden, right? Like, it's just like a whole new life has been breathed into you, and it's exactly that mercy and kind of grace you've been needing. At least in my experience, that's how it's been.
Yeah. And you have to be okay with, like, forgiving yourself if you just can't get over something right away. Right. And that's okay. Right. I mean, we're human. We all feel emotions, and, you know, you may churn on something for months and sometimes it's years. Right. But as long as you recognize that and you keep taking little steps forward, that's the important thing, because you will eventually get there, but you got to actively work on it. Right. Do the work. And that's what we always talk about, is doing the work. And that's part of doing the work.
I want to reach
that. That's a good point, Carlos, doing the work.
Yeah. I want to reach that moment of Zen where you know, you see these like parents that are in courtrooms forgiving somebody who hurt their child or something, you know, and I'm like, I don't know. I might be the parent that hops over the barricade. Like, I just, I want to be that type of person that is like, you know, will let go everything. But at the same time, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what that takes. I don't know what that process looks like, you know. And it also makes me feel crappy about every little thing that I've ever held on to, because I'm like, yo, they killed your child. Like, there's no letting go. it's a real hard time.
Yeah, I think that would be really hard.
Yeah, I don't even want to know what that something like that's like.
Yeah.
No, but you think about the times, when you're like, when you've been wronged. I mean, maybe not to that extreme of a situation, but like, there are some real strong feelings in that defensiveness, right? And in that hurt and in that harm. And I think part of it is coping and healing yourself first and foremost, trying to prioritize what that looks like. But then also, when you know that that's going to be a long-term plan and a long-term process, there are some things that can ease that process by letting go of some of the shit that keeps coming along with it. And so, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it gets to a point sometimes when you're gnawing on something or you're struggling with something where you're like, damn, do you even really want this problem to be solved? Like, what would happen if this was taken care of? What would happen if you weren't striving to survive, yet you were striving to thrive? Like, can you imagine? And I mean, this academically, you know, you get into like intergenerational poverty and you deal with all the issues of sociology, and we don't have enough time for all of it. But I'm just saying, like, at some point, as an individual within a gigantic system or several systems that are definitely built against you, you have got to claim your power, reclaim your power to that point, Derek. And then also, you need to give yourself a fighting chance at peace. And in order to do some of that, like, don't let the system latch onto you and don't allow yourself to hold on to it. Let some of that go.
Well, and that's also, it's a little bit of forgiveness too, right? Like,
it's a lot of bit.
And in an instance of like where you're wronged, or, you know, it, to the extreme of, you know, somebody dies or whatever, like that would be, or, you know, I don't know, anything malicious, like, to me, it's more than just letting go. It's like finding forgiveness for that person. And that takes a lot. It could take years, I think, in some instances. But I think forgiveness is another topic that we plan on talking about in the future, right?
Yeah, so that's its own thing for sure.
Definitely.
And I think something that Kim was saying is part of it is when you catch the emotion of what you're feeling when you're angry at somebody or hurt by somebody or whatever, and it's okay, you know, be in the emotion, that's fine. And then I think if you can ask yourself, what would it feel like if I didn't feel this emotion anymore? I think 9 times out of 10, you're going to think to yourself, relief. It's going to feel like relief. And then allow yourself to live in what relief would feel like in that moment. And that hopefully will help make you feel a little bit better, make you take a step forward and kind of keep progressing along.
Yeah. Well, I feel relieved to know all of you guys. I'm really grateful for our conversation tonight. I think we hit on a lot of cool topics and we were able to kind of dig a little deeper into what it's like to let go and what it takes to do that. I know it's never easy and it's never a one and done process. So thank you all for sharing some of those personal tidbits with everyone today and for listening to mine too. So
awesome.
Thank you, guys.
All right, guys. All right. Thanks so much. And that was Storm Champ for this week. And we'll be sure to see you all again very soon. All right.
See ya.
Bye. Bye.